were singing that song, I was thinking of an illustration. And last minute illustrations usually don't go well, so I decided not to do that. It may come back to me later, and I may end up using it, but for right now, we're not going to try and deal with that. So I didn't really try and fit this in with the Christmas holiday or anything like that. Most of the people who's been here long enough knows that I don't really get into the Christmas spirit too much. Samantha was hearing me yesterday as we went to Sam's Club. I was fussing a little bit and then got home. So anyway, our topic this morning is going to be on worth and worthy. I'm out of breath for some reason. Let's take a deep breath while we're getting ready. My nose is clogged up too, so that ain't going to work. Anyway, we'll eventually get into the scriptures. Right now, it's like an introduction to the topic. So trying to put this in with the holiday season, we start thinking about gifts. And we were watching the movie last night, and it's talking about they had a $10 limit on the gifts. And the movie was made in the late 90s, early 2000s, or something like that. So $10 back then, big difference than what it is today. You can't even go to McDonald's and order off the dollar menu because they don't have a dollar menu, I don't think. I haven't been there in a good while, thank goodness. But what's a value? We look at things and, well, I'll give you this amount for it, and then a lot of times we'll negotiate a price. And the person who's selling something's got a price in their head, and the person who's buying something's got a price in their head, and they try and come to some kind of agreement so that the purchase can be made. When you're buying from mainly like an individual, we couldn't go to Sam's Club and I say, hey, you got this sticker right here, but I know what I want to pay you for it. Will you do anything with me? And most time they're not going to negotiate. So we're going to talk about worth. We're going to be talking about worthy. So who is worthy and what is our worth? Worthy as compared to having worth. And forgive me if I'm not pronouncing my THs right. That is one of my speech impediments. Samantha tries to correct me all the time. Well, if you would just do this with your tongue, it'll come out properly. And for me, it's not going to happen. So if it sounds like word D with a D on the end of it, then that's why it's sounding like that. All right, so we're going to do some definitions. I'm a word guy. I love figuring out what the meanings are, both in the English language and when we go to the scriptures as well, trying to figure out how that ties in, if it's been changed as far as the definition, has it changed over time and so forth. So we're going to start off with worthy, then we're going to get into worth as well, and just the three aspects, defined, determined, and declared. So worthy is defined as deserving or meritorious. It's determined by position held or work done. And this is a key concept when you start trying to understand what worth and worthy mean and whether they're synonymous, and they're not synonymous. And this is where we start to see that dividing line between the two words. Worthy is declared by the person achieving or the person's observing. So a lot of times, I'm trying to think of one, but somebody would say, I'm deserving of what this is. I should have gotten that raise. I should have gotten that promotion because of, and they list out their achievements. And then the supervisor or the boss says, well, you think this way, but I think this way, and it doesn't match up. So the person may say that they're worthy of something, and then the person's observing would say, no, they're not worthy of that, whether that's good or bad. Worth defined, the quality that renders something desirable, useful, or valuable. So worthy is an aspect of something that's achieved, and worth is something, you could almost say it's a characteristic. It's determined by the one that desires the object, and it's declared by the one who sees the value. So that's a stark contrast to what I think about myself. I think that I'm worthy of whatever it is, and you list it out, compared to somebody else looking at you, and they see you with some kind of value. Or they see that object, that car out in the driveway, with some kind of value on it. So it's determined by the one that desires the object, and that can mean anything. It doesn't matter what that object is. There are some objects that Jason would probably say, well, I'll empty my bank account to get that. And then I would come up and say, you stupid. Why in the world would you want to spend that much money on that? And flip side around that, somebody could come up to me and say, what in the world are you spending all that money on? And the list goes on. And then I would say, well, I see the worth and the value in that. I want that. And all of us, that would be unique to the person. So we're going to talk about insecurities and acceptance in these next few slides. And this goes back to what Jason was talking about with the mental health crisis that we have within our society today. We heard about a guy who committed suicide on Thanksgiving Day. He was going to pick up his brother. And this just happened, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. So people are in a crisis. They're trying to figure out things. And a lot of it goes back to insecurities and acceptance issues. So we understand, we go back to Genesis chapter 3, we understand what took place. Sin came into the world and death by sin. That has wreaked havoc for 6,000 years. But we are flawed individuals, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and socially. Each of us desires acceptance, to be loved, and to feel needed and important. It doesn't matter if you're an extreme extrovert or an extreme introvert. All of us have these insecurities. All of us desire to be accepted and to be loved. That is human nature. Pascal and then Billy Graham would often say that you got a God-shaped hole in your heart and that only God can fill it. This is what it's about. We're longing for love. We're longing for acceptance. It doesn't matter if it's Jeffrey Dahmer who's killing multiple people. It doesn't matter if it's Saddam Hussein who's killing his own people. It doesn't matter if it's the abortionist committing abortions, whatever it is. And I'm giving you extreme examples of sinners, but we're all sinners, and we all have this point where we want to be accepted and we want to be loved, and we're insecure because we don't have all of that to the quantity that we need it to be. I find this fascinating. So our insecurities and our acceptance issues that we have, if we actually go back to it, the issues with insecurity and acceptance actually begin to impact the person in utero. So while mama's carrying that baby, and it is a baby the moment of conception, I think all of us in this room agree with that, but all of society does not agree with that anymore. So while that baby's in the womb, how that mama feels about herself, how that mama feels about the father, how that mama feels about the baby in that womb is affecting that child as that child is growing. The child is connected to the mother through the umbilical cord. She's getting all, I said she because I have. But the child is getting all of these nutrients, these minerals, this life support, but they're also getting what the mama's feeling. They're also being able to hear. How do we know a child hears while they're in the womb? We think about Christmas time and the season and all that. The Virgin Mary comes into the womb and a certain child leaps in his mother's womb. He knows the presence of somebody, and that's John the Baptist. So when we think about it, our culture is getting to the point where they want abortion legalized up until the moment of birth. In other words, a woman's in contraction, she's delivering the baby, she says, I don't want the baby, let's do an abortion. At that moment, she can do that. But according to the scriptures, once it's conceived, it is a child. And it feels, it understands, it hears. So these issues of insecurity and acceptance issues that we have a lot of times starts even when we're in a mother's womb. So the mothers deliver this, and then we have these formative years. So we have, during the formative years of a person's life, those insecurities and acceptance issues can drastically impact the person, often extending into adulthood. This is why in our culture today, we see so many teenagers that have drug issues, they have suicide issues. It's because of these insecurity issues that have never been dealt with. I'm not avoiding the sin issue. I want y'all to understand it, and hopefully I'm being clear on that. We all are the product of sin, and each of us manifests that sin nature in some way. But we're also flawed because of sin, and it messes with our mental capacity, our emotions. It messes with our bodies. How do we socially interact with people? All of that's being affected because of the fall of man. So I'm not saying that the teenager who decides to do drugs to excess where they overdose or whatever, that was not a sinful choice. It was a sinful choice, but there's a lot of dynamics that go on with that. So these insecurities and acceptance, it affects us mentally, emotionally, physically, socially, and spiritually. I'm just going to give you a few examples. Mentally, in that capacity, it's hard to reason, it's hard to comprehend. You may have brain fog and so forth on how you relate to different issues that are going on. Emotionally, there's extremes on this. It could be somebody who cries at the drop of a pin. I'm not that type person, but I do cry. And it could be the other one that just lives in rage. They're always angry over every little bitty thing. And again, it goes back to these insecurity issues. It goes back to sin too. Don't want to neglect that, but it's insecurity and acceptance issue. Physically, you've got anorexia, bulimia, you've got extreme bodybuilding, you've got body modification that goes on today, you've got transgenderism that all affects the physical. You got the social aspect, you got people who have social anxiety, they cannot go out in public because they just fall apart, they feel like they're about to die. And then you've got the other people that have to be engaged in social issues. If they're with just one person, they feel like they're about to die. They can't handle just being alone or being with just one person. The spiritual issue, we're trying to figure out what's going on. How do I relate to God? How do I relate to other believers and so forth? So we have all of these insecurities and acceptance issues. So going back to the insecurities and acceptance issues and how they affect us in a holistic way, you think about being worthy. You have all these questions that run through your mind depending on what's occurring in your life. Do I deserve such treatment? This could be you married the best person in the world and that person just treats you like gold because they see your worth and your value. How in the world am I I'm the luckiest person in the world to end up with that spouse? And then it could be, do I deserve such treatment? I've got an abusive spouse. I've got an abusive parent, and it's day after day that I'm being mistreated. So you can ask the same question, but depending on what you're going through in your life, you're going to get a completely different answer. And again, it goes back to how we perceive things and the insecurities that we have, both in how somebody's treating you, the insecurities that they have, and how you're responding to it, the insecurities that we have. How could this happen to me? Again, it could be the best news in the world. How come the Lord chose me to be saved? Here I am, tearing up again. Do I deserve salvation? How could that good news happen to me? Or it could be, you're like the rich man standing before Abraham, and you're in pain and torment for the rest of your eternity. Well, how could this happen to me? Because you chose not to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you've got these extremes. Would the world be different without me? In other words, I'm just so good. When I die, they're just going to be missing me. They're going to be thinking about me every single day and the things I did. Me and Samantha and Abby, but we all three joke about this in my funeral. They'll probably be crying, but they'll be crying because they're laughing because they're remembering so many quotes that I've done, so many crazy things that I've done. Y'all don't know me the way that they know me, which is probably good. Then you got the other extreme. I'm not worth living. I can't offer anything to society. I might as well die. They would be a whole lot better off if I was gone. So you've got these drastic parallels. So thinking about worth, I am valued, devalued because of where I was born, where I was raised, my education, my disability, my athleticism, fill in the blank, etc. So what takes place? Do I feel like I'm valuable because of where I was born? Where were you born? Was it a good part of town? Was it a bad part of town? Was it a good town? Was it a bad town? You know, how do we understand these things and comprehend them? Where was I raised? Just because you were born somewhere, a lot of times we move around, or our parents move around, we're not raised where we were born. What is that area known for? So how do I connect to that? Do I feel like I'm valued because I was born in Reesville, North Carolina? And most people outside of Reesville, North Carolina, say, no, it's a hick town, mostly poor people, uneducated, you can name it, whatever it is. So they would say, no, you're not really valuable because you don't have anything to offer like Greensboro or Chapel Hill or whatever it may be. Educational level, again, you can go on the list. Well, I've got my PhD. I'm a doctor. Well, I barely made it through 10th grade, and I had to drop out for whatever reason it is. And you got these things that are going on. Your disability, a lot of times we look at a disability and say, well, that's so limiting. But we've got a ministry that's actually trying to put people to work, our heroes, as they call them. They're not without value. They do have value. Athleticism. We idolize our sports figures in America, and a lot of times in the world as well. But especially in America, we idolize these sports figures. I'm not a football person, so don't ask me to name a football player. But somebody, most of Americans could name at least five well-known quarterbacks. A lot of times I got to ask Abby, well, what position is that? He's the one that catches the ball and throws it, I reckon. So fill in the blanket. And then look at yourself. Do I feel like I'm valued because of, and you fill in the blank. Do I feel like that has limited me and I'm not as of value and worth because I don't have the same upbringing as whoever it is in this room? I don't have the same amount of money in my bank account because of whoever it is in this room. I don't drive the same type of car and so forth. So our worth has to be something where we understand what that value is. We don't allow somebody else to tell us what we're worth, unless it's God Almighty, and we're going to look at what he says about us in a little bit. So if we are looking to other human beings and or to ourselves for acceptance and security in regard to worth and worthiness, we will continually struggle with insecurities and issues of acceptance. And why is that? Because people are imperfect. I'm imperfect. My wife is imperfect. Two imperfect people got married, and we had a child, and that child became perfect. No. She still got worth and value in the eyes of her parents, but she is not perfect. She's an imperfect person because she came from imperfect people. So if we're looking to other people to try and find that acceptance, to see what I'm valuable, what would her parents give for Abby? And I'm using her as an illustration. She said that she was going to go to visit another church today, and she showed up. So I already had those illustrations in my mind, so she's just got to live with them. So what would her parents, would we ever sell her? No. Nah. Will we give our lives for her? Yes. Yes. All right, so worth, defined, determined, declared, we are declared precious. So when I see something and I've got to have that, I see that object as precious. Doesn't matter what that object is, and Samantha could look at it and say, you're not taking a dime out of the bank account. And then I would say, well, I'll make another way because that's precious to me. I'm going to get that. Now, I don't know if we felt like that when we were dating or anything like that, but we ended up getting married. But I still look at her as being precious. My precious. Let's see if I got my light. No, that ain't the light. That's the light. Okay. So worth is what matters. How I see it is precious. When we come to God and man, and we're going to look at some scriptures in a minute, but the focus needs to be on the one who declares that value, so that no matter what goes on in our minds, in the world around us, we can always go back to the one who has declared the value within me. So society can fall apart, and the thing that I have, I know what I have placed on that as far as value and worth. So society can crash, the market can crash, the bank can crash, but I still have this object, and in my eyes, the value has not changed. No matter what's going on around me, the value of what I've got has not changed. Same thing with whatever, it could be a house, it could be a car, whatever it is. The person who has it or is desperately wanting it, they are the ones that are seeing the value in it. The person who's wanting to get rid of it, they have made their decision that they have placed a value on it, but they're willing to negotiate. But the person who wants it, a lot of times they will give any price for that. You think about salvation. What price would I give for my salvation? Most of the time we'll say, doesn't matter, I'm going to live my life the way I want to. But then you think about the one who gave, what price did he give? So God sees humanity, particularly the believers, as precious, created in his image, given purpose and meaning. Every single human being on the face of this earth has purpose and meaning. Doesn't matter where they came from, when they were born, through the history of humanity, all of us have intrinsic value and purpose and meaning to God. So God crafted, fashioned, and sculpted man in Adam and Eve. This he did in his image after his likeness. This is according to Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. Mankind is the pinnacle of his creation. He has all eyes on mankind. You can look through the scriptures and we can see what he has done to, to infiltrate and to come down into our world and to show us that he values us and he sees us as precious. Matthew 6:29, look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? In Luke 12:7, indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. So let's ask ourselves this morning, are you? Participation. You are. Don't say I are, because that's not correct. So think about it. Winter time's here. It's going to be getting colder. I'm praying for no snow, but if snow does come, what are the birds going to be doing? The ones who don't fly south for the winter. Or are they going to be taking their wings and, oh my goodness, I need to feed myself. What am I going to do? The birds are not worried one bit. They're out there, and whatever temperature it is, I'm still living their lives. The wild rabbits that are out there, you can see them in the snow and they're hopping around, going under the snow, coming on top of the snow. They're still living their lives. They're not worried. They're not concerned whether they're going to eat or not. So if God is taking care of them, how much more will he take care of human beings? How much more will he take care of believers? Are you not much worth much more than they? Absolutely we are. He has shown us that we are highly valuable to him. You are more valuable than many sparrows. So it's an amazing truth, and one that believers really need to rest in, one that the world so desperately needs to hear. We think about the holidays and how stressful that time is. People are draining their bank accounts to give somebody a gift, and most of the time when somebody receives that gift, they really don't appreciate it. They don't see the value in what the parent or the grandparent or whatever it is that gave them that gift. A lot of times, especially those of us in older generations, our parents and our grandparents really sacrificed to give us some one or two gifts maybe. I mean, they really did some sacrificing for that. So they placed value on it, and then a lot of times we as a kids, we would get it, especially when we got socks. I know I need them, but give me some money, give me something else. So we have to understand what God says about us. Because when I look in the mirror, I don't see what God sees. I don't see somebody who's holy, who's righteous, who's justified, who's sanctified. The list goes on of these qualities that God says of me as a believer. So when I look in the mirror, I don't see that. I have to go back to the worth and the value that God has placed on me, not on what I see myself as. So our Creator only looks at every individual person as valuable, as precious, as dear to his heart.
Y'all may just have to read these.
So the first one, we're going to two extremes right here. I'm trying to make the point. There's many variables within these two extremes. So you've got the child that's in the mother's womb. And then you got the grandmother in the nursing home. And then
all of us in between, God cares about each one. I'll leave it up there for a minute so y'all can read it so I can move on.
So know your worth as part of his creation. Know your worth as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a movie that we watched in the one of the guys burn up all the other guys' jewelry, CDs. I mean, it was a list of things that this other guy burned up from this one guy. And the guy was highly upset, and he said, "Do you know what value they had on them?" And the guy who burned up everything, he really didn't care. And then the one guy who had lost everything, he screamed, "Priceless." So when we think about ourselves, am I priceless? No. A price was paid for you and I.
we are not priceless. And that price was paid by only God himself. Nobody else could pay that price. And he paid it thoroughly, completely. So what value can the creation place upon the Creator? He should be priceless to us. Because we can't earn it. We can't buy it. We can't beg for it. We can't plead for it. All we can do is accept it because the price has been paid. He has done the work for us. So is he valuable? Is he of worth? Is he precious to me? Is he precious to you? Knowing what he's seen us in our worst days, sending it up, whatever lifestyle we were living before Christ came into our lives, after Christ saves us, he still sees all the baggage, all the sins that we're still committing, and yet he still sees us as precious. How should we see him? Another illustration. Our dog, who's going on 7 years old, she's stubborn, she's hard-headed, but when she sees me, who is the master, trained her, has to correct her, all of that, and I truly believe it, she sees me as precious, as valuable. Do I always see her like that? No. But I'm a human. I'm flawed too. But God always sees us as precious, as valuable. That sinner who is just, we believe that they're never going to get saved and they may not get saved, God still sees that person as precious. Even when he condemns them to hell for eternity because of the choice that they made in unbelief, God still sees that person as precious. Worthy. So this is the flip side of it. It's defined, determined, declared, deserving. So when we think about worth, it means that you are deserving, it's meritorious, you have earned that. So we can list out the good things that God has done for us. He's given you life, he's given you breath, he's given you health for the most part. He's given us comfort. We're not freezing cold or anything like that. We're not getting wet today. We're going to go to our homes, and more than likely we've got more food than we could really eat within a day. We've got multiple Bibles in our homes. I mean, we are truly blessed. So are we worthy of what we have? Well, in some of our minds, especially a lot of us as men, we would say, well, I go to work every day. I earned my keep. I bought what I needed. So, yes, I'm deserving of what I've got. But wonder if you couldn't work and somebody else had to provide for you, would you still say that you were worthy? So we see the response. Man has a way of saying that God is worthy, and God has a way of saying that man is worthy. But man can't look to himself and say, I am worthy because of what I've done, what I have achieved, whether it's Elon Musk, the richest man in the world, or whether it's Lazarus, who's at the table trying to beg for the crumbs of the dogs. In between, but nobody is worthy in and of ourselves, even though we can achieve great things. God sees humanity as sinfully sinful, wretched, unclean, alienated, separated, unholy, and the list goes on of how God truly sees us. Does God have a right to see us in those ways? When we look into a mirror, and I talked about this in one of the other messages, do we truly see who we are? I gave the illustration whatever that message was, where you've got different types of mirrors, and there's one mirror that's a magnifying mirror, and it can get even closer. We've got so many different microscopes now where they can get even closer to the minuscule of the minuscule, and that's not even touching the surface of what God sees. And he sees it in eternity. And he sees every single person. And he knows us intimately. So what God says about us is accurate and it is true. So what do we deserve? What have we earned? Can we rightfully say we merit God's acceptance of us based on our deeds? No. Not at all. There's a stark contrast between a person having worth and a person being worthy as it relates to our Creator-owner. In the world system, they are right. Based upon what you do, that declares you what you should receive. Most of us work for an employer, and if I didn't go to work, but I said I still deserve my pay, I still deserve a raise, I still deserve a promotion, then that employer is going to say, you deserve to be fired. As a matter of fact, get on out of here. So it's what God says. It is a stark contrast. Salvation makes that reality known in blood red color. The world says, earn your keep, prove yourself worthy, and the list goes on of what they say. I mentioned it before, a guy's got a tattoo that says self-made across his knuckles, and he builds cars, he's real famous in the car building industry, but that's what he's got across his hands. And the hypocrisy of that is that he started his business with a gift from his grandfather, so he was not self-made. But that's the hypocrisy, that's the pride that we have to deal with. In respect to appeasement of God, religion says to do it. Go to the worship meeting. Keep the 10 commandments or the 15 pillars or whatever the list is of whatever religion that is. Make sure that you get dunked in water, whatever religion that is, it's got that. The list goes on. Alms, deeds, giving, taking care of the sick. But you do something to make yourself worthy so that God accepts you. And Christianity is a stark contrast to that because we've got it written down and we see it, what blood did for us. We're not worthy, but God made it so that we could be accepted. The gospel says, it is finished. You do not have to do anything but believe because the work has been done on your behalf. So we are not worthless, we are unworthy, and we need to understand that difference. What can the creation offer to the Creator that was not first given to the creation by the Creator? It's like Abby, and I'm using her as an illustration. Especially when she was little, she's working now so she can do a little bit more. She can buy us gifts and stuff. But when she was little, she had no money, especially when she was real little, like 3 and 4. And I would help her make gifts for Samantha for Mother's Day and Christmas and stuff. Or we would go shopping together and we would buy Samantha a gift, or Samantha would do vice versa. But Abby was only taking what she was given and giving back to us and showing her gratitude and showing her love. This is what the creation does with God. And a lot of times the creation, mankind, will shake our fists at him. I know what you gave me, but I'm going to do this on my own. It just doesn't work. So who will be able to stand before the Lord, pound their chest, and boastfully bellow, I did it my way, expecting God to accept their self-effort as a satisfactory substitute for the blood of Jesus Christ? Nobody will be able to do that. Wonder if they add, but I did it in your name. That makes it all good. Still not going to work. I've got 2 songs up here. And this is going to be, I guess, a little bit of an education. So thinking about worthy, that concept of worthy. And from my smitten heart, with tears, to wonders I confess, the wonders of his glorious love and my own worthlessness. And that's beneath the cross of Jesus. We sing that a lot of times in the breaking the bread service. This is what it should say. And from my smitten heart with tears, to wonders I confess, the wonders of his glorious love and my own unworthiness. Do you see the difference in that? It changes the meaning of that song completely. It actually makes it more scriptural. So worthlessness. For me, and a lot of times we will say that. We'll say, well, I'm just unworthy. I think about Wayne and Garth. We're unworthy. When we think about what God has done for us, we do say, I'm not worthy of that. I'm worthless. There's nothing that I have to offer God. But in God's eyes, we are not worthless. He has shown that the moment that he created Adam, the moment that he created Eve, and all throughout human history, he has shown us that we are valuable, we are of worth, we are highly favored, we are precious in his sight. So we're not worthless. We are unworthy of any of the good things that he does for us. So I looked this song up on the internet, and I didn't know it was in our blue book, but it is. So this is, I think, more scriptural. To wonders here that I confess my worth, I have value because God says I do, and my unworthiness, I do not deserve what he's done for me. My value fixed, my ransom paid at the cross. And that's my worth is not in what I own. So there's only one that is truly worthy, our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And according to Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5, let's see what time we got. So for the sake of time, we're not going to read these, but again, a lot of times we're reading these in our Breaking of Bread service where the angels in heaven, the elders in heaven, the people around the throne in heaven are crying out, "Worthy is the Lamb, for he was slain." Revelation 4 and chapter 5 talks about who's going to open up the scroll. There's nobody worthy to do that. And then they say, "Wait, behold the Lamb. He is worthy. He's able to do that." So only God himself, only Jesus Christ is truly worthy. Those in him are both valuable and worthy. Again, you're joining these things together now. Through likeness and identification, new birth and imputation, a great exchange occurs where we are removed from Adam and placed into Christ. Not I, but Christ. So God declares our value, and then he, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, declares that we are worthy to approach him, to boldly come before his throne. Those who reject the free gift of salvation offered to us all, they, though valuable and precious to God, die in their unworthiness, eternally separated from the goodness and love of Jesus Christ. And I've got these scriptures up here where it's talking about what's going on, worth and value being declared and so forth. And just seeing what all is going on, in our insecurities, we need to always go back to Scripture. No matter what's going on in our minds, no matter what's going on with our health, our emotions, socially, I'm not getting along. We mentioned a marriage that's being dissolved right now. All of these insecurities that are going on, we always got to go back to the Scriptures and have that foundation being put back into our minds so that we see that though I'm insecure in who I am in Christ, he has made me valuable and he's made me worthy of his love, his worship, whatever you want to call it. Thinking about that word worship, to declare worth and value. Every time we worship the Lord, we are declaring his value. He declared our value on the cross. And he says we're worthy because of Jesus Christ, not because of anything that we've done, but because of Jesus Christ. So these valuable individuals that we run into in the community, work, shopping, whatever it is, that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to look at them with pity and look at them as if they are precious because they're precious in his sight. What's that children's song? Red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. Every single one of us are. Hopefully that's encouraging to you. Maybe it's convicting, I don't really know. But in our insecurities, God is more than enough because he shows us just how valuable we are to him. When we look at other believers, we need to be looking at each other, seeing the value of Christ within. It helps us to get over a lot of the things that are done to us and we feel like we've been wronged, it was unjust, whatever it is. If we look at people from the light of Jesus Christ, a lot of times we can not necessarily overlook what somebody else has done for us, but see them with compassion and love. And I'll open it up to the men for a discussion or anything. Okay, let's close in prayer. Our Father, we just thank you this morning. We confess that we are insecure, and that manifests in so many different ways, physically, emotionally, mentally, socially, even spiritually. We question acceptance, whether we'll be accepted by others, whether we're truly accepted by you. And really all we can do is rest on the truth of your word. Help us to be in your word as much as possible, because we have so many things against us in this world that would cause us to doubt our value, would cause us to doubt whether life is even worth living, because in our minds, and maybe people have told us, we have nothing to offer. So, Father, we just pray that you would help us, remind us over and over by your Spirit of our great worth, our value to you. Help us to look to the cross and see just how valuable we were. To think about the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on that cross, to shed his blood, to show that we are precious in your sight. It causes us to worship, to ascribe worth to you. We've been reminded this morning that all creation can do is give back to the Creator. It's the Creator who gives us life, who gives us breath, who meets our needs, even fulfills some of our wants. So, Father, we pray that as this season of remembrance of the greatest gift of all being sent down to humanity, I pray that it would just give us a new understanding of what precious is, that it would give us a new understanding of what value is, and to understand that we can't earn any of this, but we can receive it by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We just thank you this morning. We praise you this morning. May everything that we do and say be for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.